Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's do a couple of things before Joshua Briscoe joins us on the show coming up in just a bit. I do want to talk a little bit of college football in this segment. The first college football playoff rankings are out, and the rankings, I think, give us a really good picture of what to expect moving forward. I know there's going to be a lot of change, but I think the committee is kind of already giving you an idea of what they're going to be looking for as we get closer to deciding who has a chance to play for the college football playoff. All right, this is my question, 913-586-7965. I know we're looking ahead, but you know what? It's a Wednesday. We'll start talking about the Broncos more tomorrow. Let's say that it is the first game of the postseason, and both running backs are healthy. Kareem Hunt is healthy. Isaiah Pacheco is healthy. Both guys are ready to go and ready to help the Chiefs get back to and win another Super Bowl. Let's say that they run the ball between the two of them 20 times in the games. How would you divvy up the carries? Out of those 20, how many are you giving Kareem Hunt? Out of those, how many are you giving to Isaiah Pacheco? Now, granted, we don't know the game flow situation. Work with me here, people. Work with me here. I think the split should be somewhere between 13 and 7, 14 and 6. I do think that Isaiah Pacheco is the more explosive of the two back. I think if you run the ball on first down, you have a better chance of getting more yards from Isaiah Pacheco than you do from Kareem Hunt. But I do think that Kareem has a very necessary role for this team and could also really go a long way in keeping Isaiah Pacheco fresh down the stretch. You now have the ability to kind of work Isaiah Pacheco back and into your offense, and you don't need to throw him into the deep end of the pool because you can continue to give Kareem Hunt the carries. So that's how I would do it. I think we now know who your short yardage back can be in this situation, who your red zone back can be in this situation. I also think we'll see some scenarios where both of those guys are in the backfield and you can either have one of them go out for a route to capable pass catchers, or you can really do some creative things having both of them in the lineup because you have to expect the explosiveness that both of them have. I still think that Pacheco is the better back of the two. I think he is the more explosive back of the two. I would say that it's probably in the 13 to 7, 14 to 6 range. Where are you at, Rob?
We're in the same ballpark. I have it 14-6 or 15-5, Isaiah Pacheco. I know Kareem Hunt had two bigger runs on Monday night against the Bucks, but going into Monday night, he had the same amount of 15-yard plus runs as Isaiah Pacheco, while having light years more carries. The thing about Kareem Hunt, which has been great, is all the deep cut nerdcore analytics stats talk about how efficient he is running the football. And he is very efficient. I believe those stats. But he's not explosive. He was more explosive Monday, but he is just not an explosive player. He had 27 carries. He had under 4 yards a carry again on Monday. He is a workhorse. He is a 3 yards in a cloud of dust guy. And the Chiefs are maximizing the value of that 3 yards in a cloud of dust. But in the postseason, you need a guy to break off a 6, 7, 8, a 15, 16, 17-yard run. And Isaiah Pacheco is more capable of that. So I'm 14-6, maybe 15-5 Pacheco. But let those 5 that Hunt or 6 that Hunt gets, let him be a sledgehammer in there, wearing out the defense for Pacheco to get bigger runs. But I think you have to give Pacheco the bulk of the carries, assuming he is, in fact, the healthier at full health.
Yeah, one thing about this conversation, and I certainly get why people feel that way about him, is we've never seen the Chiefs give this level of commitment to Isaiah Pacheco. Kareem Hunt has 97 carries in their last 4 games. You give me any time where over a span of a month, they gave the ball to Isaiah Pacheco 25 times a game. They've never shown that. Now, maybe some of this is nostalgia with Kareem Hunt, but I mean, in those games, the usage has definitely been there. He's never had more than 4 yards a carry, and over those last 97 carries, he's averaging 3.56 per yard. So this is not me. I like Isaiah. I like Kareem Hunt. I think he has a clear, defined role on this team. He's not Isaiah Pacheco, though. You're not going to get that explosiveness. You're not going to get that big play. You're not going to get that bang from him. But you can still take a lot of the good things that you like from Kareem Hunt. He is extremely reliable. He can help you in pass situations. He can catch the ball a little bit out of the backfield, and he's reliable in short yardage situations. So there is a clear role that I think he has on this team. I'm probably closer to it being a little bit 50-50 more than you are. Like, you kind of want it 75-25. I'm probably more in a 60-40, maybe 55-45, just in the vein of keeping both of those guys fresh. I don't know if their wide receiver room is improving itself that much down the stretch. Now, let's see how you develop Xavier Worthy. Let's also see when Hollywood Brown returns, if he returns to this team. But I don't think you go from the wide receiver cover being bare to now you got one of the best wide receiver rooms in the league. So this team is going to have to continue to run the football the way that they did last season. They're going to have to lean into more of what they are, and that's trusting the interior of that offensive line and running forward. But at this point, everything that Kareem has done, Isaiah Pacheco, I feel, is very capable of doing. He's just never been given the excessive amount of volume to go out and get these opportunities. I'd love to look it up over the course of the last 4 weeks. I'm going to guess that Derrick Henry is the only running back in the league that has more carries over the last 4 weeks than he is. They've never been that committed to giving Isaiah Pacheco the ball.
I think one of the reasons why I'm 75-25, and you're a little more 50-50 than me, is that I think by the time Pacheco comes back and gets healthy, I think they will have used up a lot of the good football in Kareem Hunt for exactly what you just said. They are just running him at a level they have never run anyone. They didn't run 22-year-old Kareem Hunt at this level.
I mean, honestly, right now, the way that they're running him, they're using him like Larry Johnson in 2005. That's how he's running the football.
That's partly why I'm 75-25 when he gets back. It just is not sustainable. So let's get every ounce of juice out of Kareem Hunt, and then when Pacheco's back, we throttle down Hunt. They cannot keep him at this volume and have it be successful. And I guess maybe it's just he has 1 year left in the tank and you burn it out. He's getting Larry Johnson run. So I think eventually the wear and tear slows him down. And as that wear and tear happens, that's right when Pacheco comes back. And that's why I think it's 75-25 Isaiah.
I just looked it up here because I was just curious. I looked it up while you were talking. Over the course of the last 4 weeks, Kareem Hunt has 97 carries and Derrick Henry has 73 carries. I'm just saying,
he has 100 carries in what timeline?
Kareem Hunt has 97 carries in their last 4 games. Derrick Henry in the last 4 Ravens games has 73 carries.
That is legitimately Larry Johnson.
And think about the usage that we know that Derrick Henry is getting on his team. Like, he should be getting that. He's the best running back in the league. Like, they're using him at a Derrick Henry level. right now. I don't think that's part sustainable, and I don't think you need it to be sustainable. I think you're going to be able to take some of the workload off of Kareem and give some of those to Isaiah Pacheco, and just ultimately, it is going to keep both of them fresh. You cannot give Kareem Hunt 300 carries this season. That is just not a sustainable model. You don't need to give him 300 carries because I believe in less than the next month, so I guess in the next month, I believe you're getting Isaiah Pacheco back, and you're going to bring his usage down, and I think it's just going to keep him fresher down the home stretch. I hear every Chiefs fan tell me it's not about the regular season, and it's about the postseason. Man, giving Kareem Hunt 225 carries in November and December, that's not going to help you late in the season and keeping him fresh. So just having a little bit more balance, I think it's going to end up being a positive thing for the Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, before we catch up with Joshua Briscoe, what was your biggest takeaway with the college football bracket?
Bama. The fact that Bama at two losses is still in, and there are one loss teams in power conferences sitting outside looking in, is astonishing to me. I know Bama is a name brand and Bama is Bama, but the fact that Iowa State, a one loss team, is on the outside looking in, the fact that SMU, a one loss team, is on the outside looking in, Texas A&M, a one loss team, on the outside looking in, there are one loss teams that are in power conferences on the outside looking in, and Bama is not only are they in, they're in at 11. They're not part of that like first one out category. I was stunned to see Bama where they are. Now, they might lose this weekend. They're in Death Valley against LSU, a place that has been a, you know, house of horrors for them. But Bama being in over some one loss Power Five schools really had me shocked.
This is the thing that I don't know if we have a recalibration for in college football. The only thing that has mattered in college football is how many losses you have had, and necessarily not the W's, really the L's. Iowa State does not have one impressive win this year. They are just a good team in a good conference. These are their wins so far this year: North Dakota, Iowa, Arkansas State, Houston, Baylor, West Virginia, UCF, and they just lost to Texas Tech. So they haven't played any of the good teams of the Big 12, and their non-con game was Iowa, a team that can't really score a whole lot of points. So I am happy that we are potentially getting away from the model of, hey, just having one loss or two losses is not enough. You and I agree. Tomorrow, if Iowa State played Alabama, Alabama would be a clear favorite over Iowa State, and most people would pick Alabama to win that game. So what metric are we using to decide who's better and who's not better? My biggest takeaway, honestly, was it was more about the mid-major team. And I don't think that's a conversation a lot of people are having yet, and I fully understand it, but I think you saw it now with the bracket. Hey, one of these Alabama, Indiana, one of these teams is not going to make it because Boise State or one of those teams has to make it. And I think Boise State could maybe be ranked a little bit higher than where they currently sat. I saw Army at 25, and that scared me. What does that mean for Army, who is currently undefeated right now? If they beat Notre Dame, do they make the college football playoff? Or is there just not a pathway for Army to make the college football playoff? Like, there's still a lot of questions. Now, we still got a month to kind of sort these things out, but I do think the committee gave us a little bit of insight on how they're going to think. And at least this first bracket tells you, I don't know if you can necessarily look at how many losses you have. You got to look at wins and sort of the perception about the team. And I don't think the perception of Iowa State is that high right now, because why would it be? They haven't beaten anybody yet. Coming up on the other side, we'll catch up with Joshua Briscoe. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL trade deadline. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
There's a lot of people happy.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, there's a lot of people sad today. That's just the way that it goes. I'm a little sad today. I tried to ban this individual from our show, but Rob told me that due to his contract, we have to have him on the show. Now, Joshua Briscoe, I wanted to suspend you. I really did. I did everything in my power. I went down to HR and tried to make sure that you weren't on the show today, but I was overruled. I have to have you on the show today. How's it going?
Like a phoenix rising from the ashes, you cannot hold me down. I don't think there's anything contractually, though, that says it has to be a long segment. So if you just hang up on me right now, there's nothing I can do about it.
No, you know what? No. If you're getting paid to come on the show, I'm making you work for it. You might be doing two segments today, my friend. You might be doing two.
Wow, management CDOT. I didn't even know this was a part of you. Okay, yeah, no, that's fine.
So let's start with this, man. What was your biggest takeaway? What was your biggest takeaway from what we saw on the NFL trade deadline over the last 24, 78 hours?
The shortest one is that DeAndre Hopkins was an absolute steal. Like, I don't need to see whatever the Cowboys are even doing to look around and go, oh, Mike Williams for a fifth round pick. Like, that feels a little bit steep. Obviously with Hopkins is a fifth that can be a fourth if they're in the Super Bowl and he plays like 60% of the snaps. The Chiefs would obviously escalate that pick 100 times out of 100. Everyone would be happy there. So what I think the Chiefs did correctly, and this is also possibly true for Joshua Uche, striking before the deadline bell started ringing, I think was a smart move, in part because what we saw from a few sort of, if not bizarre trades, even like the Marshawn Lattimore one, which I'd love to talk about, that was just expensive. It wasn't an absurd price, but it was expensive. The Mike Williams thing was shocking to me, to see him go for virtually the same pick that Hopkins went for.
Yeah, I look at it as, I think we saw an arms race happen in the AFC, and the contenders have stepped to the front of the table. As we are heading into the second half of the season, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Buffalo, those are the four teams that feel like they realistically have a shot at those things. All of those teams tried to update the offense. They all went out and they got wide receivers. They tried to improve that, and we saw a couple of teams pick up a pass rusher. Kansas City picked up a pass rusher. Pittsburgh picked up a pass rusher. Baltimore picked up a corner to try to shore up their secondary. Like, we saw a lot of movement from the top four teams in the AFC to try to position themselves for the winter months.
And I think, as we saw over the course of this last offseason, the offseason before that, that is by and large set by the Chiefs being the proverbial pace car there, where you do have to reload and reevaluate what pieces you have. And look, I'm still lukewarm on what the Steelers could be, but like, they should be in contender mindset mode right now. They've earned that through the first half of the season. But I think you have all these teams looking around, realizing that they could use one more weapon. They are going to need one more pass rusher to potentially get to Mahomes in those winter months. I think it's at this point, like, almost an overstated thing, to the point that we underestimate how much it has absolutely warped the entire NFL. The Chiefs have been setting the standard here for so long that even when they're not playing their best football, and even when the narrative is about them him start to fall into those spaces of, well, they're undefeated, but they're not that good, actually. By simply being undefeated, they are out there in front of everybody else by at least two games in that conference. And so everyone else has to look around and say, we could stand pat here, but maybe, and maybe if we think the Chiefs are a tiny bit wobbly, if they don't get everything figured out, maybe we get a shot at them. Or alternatively, you turn on the TV on Monday night and you watch DeAndre Hopkins put up that performance, and you may think, well, we're going to need more firepower, potentially on both sides of the football, to ultimately get past the Chiefs in January, because no one's done it in 2 years.
Which of those three teams do you think improved the most at the deadline? Do you think it's Pittsburgh, Baltimore, or Buffalo?
I believe in Buffalo the most overall still, but I don't know if any of those, this is the opposite of your question. The Texans losing Diggs is obviously a huge deal. And so I feel like they fall off there. The Steelers fall off because I'm just not a huge believer in postseason Russell Wilson in 2024-25. So I'm giving the hat tip to Buffalo, but I don't necessarily feel like either of them have, I mean, even done what the Jets did, which was drastically improve their chances by adding Devontae Adams. It was just too late and their quarterback is wrong. So I don't think either of them necessarily closed any gaps, certainly if you take into account what the Chiefs did by adding Hopkins and then to a secondary level to Uche.
Right now we're talking to Joshua Briscoe, who was banned from the show, but I was overruled, so he is back on the show, who covers the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, let's talk about Marshawn Lattimore. I think the Chiefs wanted Marshawn Lattimore, but usually what scares you off of purchasing anything is the price of what that thing costs. I think they called about Lattimore and he was way more expensive than they thought he was going to be. They kind of waited around to see if anybody was going to offer more than they did. And Washington just came in with one of those offers that the Saints didn't have a choice. You had to take the Commanders' offer.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I also completely agree of what I think the Chiefs did there. It was interesting yesterday as Rappaport and Schefter were tweeting about the trade. Before it was completed, they were tweeting about the Chiefs being in past tense, saying the Chiefs have been linked, or they have been in it, which to me was pretty easy to see the signals there, which is that they're getting information from the Saints, trying to drum up better and better offers. So the Saints are saying, hey, tell them all the Commanders are the leader in the clubhouse, but those reigning back-to-back champions, they're poking around. So if somebody else in the AFC wants to come in and outbid the Chiefs. Meanwhile, I just don't think the Chiefs were ever in a conversation that extended past their own third round pick. Even that would have been a little bit rich for my blood, but I don't think giving up the Legarius Sneed pick for a corner who isn't Legarius Sneed after making that decision this offseason, I don't think that would have made any sense. Obviously, the change there is losing Jalen Watson potentially for the season, at least for the regular season. It seems like he may be holding out some hope for a later return, which would obviously be great. But Jalen Watson didn't enter this year as Legarius Sneed. Like, he was one of the guys they threw at the position. Obviously, no Nazi Johnson on Monday Night Football also. The one thing, Carrington, for me that is sort of bizarre, that is a part of the football discourse that I think often is doing ourselves a disservice, but here I actually wish we would do it a tiny bit more. You have enough success, you earn the trust of your fan base, you get in vitro we trust as this, you know, this song that Chiefs fans can sing during any uncertain times. Off-season draft, well, Brett Veach will figure it out because he's great. Brett Veach is great, but he's not, you know, untouchable. He's made mistakes, and everyone, I think, can, you know, assess that. Everyone in football has. The thing about it in this case, though, that's so strange to me is that if there is any position on this team, from talent evaluation to coordinators to positional coaching, that deserves your trust, I think it's in the development of cornerbacks. We have seen Steve Spagnuolo and Dave Merritt get the most out of these guys for years and years and years, and Veach seems to deliver them the types of players that they can mold into productive players down the stretch. It was a bad day for Chris Roland Wallace, by and large. He hasn't even hit the 70 snap mark yet of his NFL career on defense. Of snaps. Nazi Johnson had 1 week to prepare as a starter and left that game early with the concussion last week. I think there's still room for an undrafted rookie or for Nazi Johnson, who didn't play football last year. I think there's room for them to take some strides, even though I certainly don't feel super confident in where Joshua Williams is at. He's also not a total bum. Like, he has played meaningful snaps on this defense in Super Bowl runs. That's not to say that he wasn't a weakness or couldn't be a weakness. He was on Monday night, and he can be going forward. but also there's a lot of people really been out of shape about the Buccaneers offense running through a tight end and their running backs by and large, resulting in 200 total passing yards as if the corner somehow got cooked. I think the last drive for the defense was the only one for me that had some of those red flags in the process of going, oh, well, Baker is kind of scanning for the matchups he's looking for. Before that, a lot of stuff was schemed open. It was a great day for Liam Cohen. But anyway, all of that to say, back to the Lattimore point, I was not panicking about them needing to add another corner because I think that if there's any spot on this team where they've shown they can use what they have, it's been at that position.
Right now, we're talking to our guy, Joshua Briscoe. All right, I have three kind of numbers-based questions for you. It goes in line with what you just said with corner. So on a scale from 1 to 10, so 10 being the highest, absolute confidence, where are you at right now with the cornerback room? Because of all of their positions, that appears to be the thinnest, and there's no Hollywood Brown coming back to kind of save the cornerback room. On a scale from 1 to 10, where are you at in confidence with the corners?
I think I'm at a flat 5, and all of that belongs to the number 2 corner and then a little bit to what they do in the slot, I suppose. I think we could see a little more Shamari Connor be able to alleviate the slot issues if Roland Wallace doesn't begin to stack some good plays in a row. I'm a little bit worried about it, but I wasn't willing to trade a day 2 pick there. So I'll be a flat 5 right down the middle.
All right, I'll ask you the same question about wide receiver. Where are you at on a scale from 1 to 10 when it comes to confidence in the wide receiver room?
With Hollywood being in the mix on this one, I think maybe like a 7 at this point. DeAndre Hopkins was outrageously impressive on Monday night and outrageously impressive for being where he is 2 games into the Mahomes experience. I think that I'm not going to totally buy all the way to, him tweeting that picture of Brady and Randy Moss in New England, but I'm buying a little bit of what that relationship's going to be in terms of a future Hall of Fame receiver, a future Hall of Fame quarterback being able to figure it out for the last half of the season.
All right, so let's say that we have fast-forwarded to the postseason. Like, I've put you in a time machine, and it is the Chiefs' first postseason game. Kareem Hunt is healthy for this game. Isaiah Pacheco is healthy for this game. And they have 20 carries between the two of them. How are you divvying up the carries? How many carries are you giving Isaiah Pacheco? How many carries are you giving Kareem Hunt?
My instinct there, splitting 20 carries, is like 12 and 8 for Pacheco and Hunt, respectively. Partially because I just think by that point, if unless Kareem Hunt gets to get in the time machine with us, he's going to feel even worse physically than he does right now. And I think Pacheco theoretically comes back. Obviously, it's a broken ankle, so it's not like he has, air quotes, kind of fresh legs. But he will have a fresh body outside of that that's been rehabbed from a full year of being punished at the NFL level. So I'd give a little bit of a lean towards Pacheco, but then I think you can kind of play the situations a little bit. First and 10, I'd rather give it to Isaiah Pacheco because if he misses the hole or doesn't quite see the right thing, you're throwing the ball on second and 10, second and 9. You can live with that. But if it's third and 1, third and 2, even down at the goal line, I'd rather see Kareem Hunt in those circumstances. He has great vision still, and he seems to take what's there every time. So I think situationally, pretty close to 50-50, but I'll give the edge to Pacheco, likely fresher at that point, hopefully fully healthy.
Yeah, we did these numbers before you hopped on. So Kareem Hunt has touched the ball. He has 97 carries in the last 4 weeks. So, I mean, that's a lot of usage. Derrick Henry has 73 carries during that same time frame. So just think about it. Like, we all think Derrick Henry, like, the ultimate workhorse back. He has a full game more workload in the same amount of time frame than Derrick Henry. I looked it up. I mean, he is on pace over the course of the season to have 377 carries. Now, obviously, nobody thinks that he is going to have that. But at some point, his usage just has to go down. And as you get into those late months, it's going to be good to have somebody that can help shoulder the load. He has done a fantastic job given the opportunity, but this is not something that you think is going to be sustainable for the next 3 months.
Correct. Absolutely. I didn't realize that his season-long stats would put him in Larry Johnson territory. That's crazy. And to that point, and maybe to that callback to the Larry Johnson era, no, it's not... It's not sustainable in the best of circumstances. Again, like Derrick Henry, the outlier for him is the fact that he's been able to have that kind of usage at a very high level throughout his entire career and had relatively infrequent injury stopping him. Kareem Hunt right now is in the midst of for him, an incredible end chapter, or one of the final chapters of his NFL career, getting to do the prodigal son thing and come back and be really, really, really useful for keeping this offense afloat. That is absolutely legitimate. Nothing to take away from him since he's taken this job. But that cannot be the plan in January. And really, it shouldn't even be the plan as soon as you have a little bit more, maybe even a little more faith in Carson Steele, for that matter. I've been kind of wondering if they would begin to try to at least get Hunt back down to the 20-ish carry mark. But you saw it on Monday night. They eventually got to the point where the offense wasn't able to move as easily as they wanted to. They fed him in the second half, and the offense felt a lot more flexible, moving the ball up and down the field at times, and I don't think that's a fluke at this point. It keeps happening.
Last question here, and you might be the first person to get back-to-back suspensions off the show. You already have accrued one suspension here. Now, okay, we're waiting to the offseason when you can sit down with the commissioner and maybe you can get that thing appealed. This is a very important question. When does Christmas start?
For me, either the day or maybe 2 days after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Is that acceptable?
No, I mean, that's your answer. I just wanted to know because Rob thinks that it is now Christmas season. I don't know what has happened now, but Rob already has his Christmas tree up here, Josh. He already has Christmas lights up. He's already decked the halls with boughs of holly.
I love Christmas, and I really like Christmas decorations. What we do in our home is that our Halloween decorations are still up. They will probably still be up close to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving will then occupy that interstitial time in between Halloween and Christmas decorations, and then the Christmas decor goes up. So no, I think day after Thanksgiving in most circumstances is where I'm gonna go. I'm not listening to a Christmas song until December 1st, just for what it's worth.
You know what, Briscoe? I will consider rescinding your suspension. I'll consider it. I still don't like what you've given so far. You came on this show and you said the Kit Kats were the best chocolate. I even asked Patrick Mahomes this, and he very presidentially said, "No, that's crazy."
Did he have a favorite chocolate candy?
I asked you. You don't listen to the show?
No, we talked about this. I can't remember. This was a week ago.
Oh my!
Was he, Joshua? What was his top level?
You know what?
Was it also Snickers?
I gotta.
Did you suspend Patrick Mahomes?
Suspension? No, I'm suspending you, Joshua Briscoe, not Mahomes. Mahomes can't get suspended from this show. You can get suspended from this show. Rob, hang up on that man. That's goodbye. He's out of here. He's out of here. He's done. He doesn't even listen to the show. How can you be a regular on this show? You don't listen to the show. We even shouted him out in the conversation with Patrick Mahomes. And that's how he plays us?
To be fair, we shouted him out just to embarrass him, if we're being honest. I mean,
yo, why are you trying to give context to this? What happened?
I'm just painting
the
whole
picture.
Is that
not crazy to you? You're trying to give context to what happened here. There's no reason to give any context to what happened. There's none. There's not a single reason to give context. We asked Patrick Mahomes that, and he said, no, that's wrong. That's crazy, because he knows that's crazy. He knows it. Did you guys, I actually know that you didn't see this. Rob, so there was a post that was put out by downtownkc.org. Now, this is not hyperbole. I was the only person on Twitter to retweet this. The headline is literally Downtown Kansas City Baseball Update from Downtown Kansas City. The only retweet was me. I'm the only one that cares still about this. You know what? That's fine. I'll be the only one. I'm the only one that thinks a lot of things. That's perfectly fine. I'm the only one that hates baked beans. That's fine. I'm the only one that thinks March Madness is overrated and that it gets worse as the tournament goes on. That's fine. I'm the only one that doesn't get excited about watching Notre Dame and Wisconsin play a 48-42 game because they dive on the floor for loose balls. I'll be the only person. That's fine. I'm the only person that still cares about where the Royals are going to play their baseball games. It's fine. Did you know this, Rob? In this little story that they put, it said the Royals majority owner, John Sherman, has indicated that he wants the team to be playing in a new ballpark when their lease expires at the Truman Sporting Complex after the 2030 season. The downtown council has long welcomed and promoted the idea of a downtown baseball stadium, and they have an imagination and a strategy plan for Imagine Downtown KC 2030. They then talked about how they've been fixing the bridges and doing all the stuff, the Buck O'Neill Bridge, and doing all this stuff because they're trying to make it viable for the stadium. It then also said that many locations have been proposed and are viable for a downtown location. And guess what location kept popping up in this story? Washington Square Park keeps popping up. Now, I don't know when they're going to make this announcement. I'm guessing sometime over the course of the next 90 days. I think they are going to have a pretty detailed plan about Washington Square Park. It just keeps popping up. I don't think the Royals have any interest in moving to Kansas. We have no indication that they want to move to Kansas. I don't even know if Kansas really wants them. Kansas really wants the Chiefs, and I guess they'll take the Royals. The Royals really want to be in downtown Kansas City. And I don't think that that idea was floated out for them to be a little bit closer to Union Station and close to Crown Center. I don't think that was random. I also don't think on election day that downtown Kansas City just sends this story out about how they've been basically working to try to make this a viable location. So I understand in the midst of everything that was happening, it was a very big election. I get it. I understand how the downtown stadium was not front of mind for you. But now that we have finished with the election, the next big local thing that we need to figure out is what's happening with the teams. We still do not know. Have no clue of what's going to happen. No clue where the Royals are going to go. No clue where the Chiefs are going to go. And also, who and how we are paying for their new stadium. So we're going to have the mayor of Kansas City coming up. He is also quoted in this story. I want to ask him about this. Hey, how viable is this space? What's going on? I think it's important for us to know. All right, coming up on the other side, Rob, let's talk a little bit of college football. My team didn't lose this weekend. Rob, did your team lose this weekend?
Nope.
Some of you guys, your team lost this weekend, and you guys told me it was crazy. We had John Kurtz on the show, and he made us feel bad for even talking to him about the game. We'll talk about K-State next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Time to check in on MIZ, K-State, and KU. Let's go Cover 3.
Ready, break!
K-State. Right when I jump on the bandwagon? Rob, we had two K-State guests last week. We didn't hear anything. Rob, did you get a single tweet like, oh, hey, we appreciate the coverage. We appreciate you guys talking about us. Did you get any of that? This show was ready to jump on the K-State bandwagon. We had their coach on the show. We had guests on the show. I had put down the black and gold, and I picked up the purple. Y'all lost to Houston? It's one thing to lose to Texas Tech. It's one thing to lose to Colorado. Maybe even a Baylor. Houston? You're telling me that there's a chance that K-State doesn't go to the national championship. They can't compete for the college football playoff because they lost to Houston? I don't believe it. You're making it up. That's not what happened. K-State, the rest of us are very disappointed in you. We believed in you. We really did. This show believed in you. And I know you guys like to get a little sassy sometimes. It's been real quiet over there. Real quiet. I haven't heard a whole lot of, hey, why aren't you guys talking about us this week from K-State? Where y'all at? Go Power Cat, bring on the Cats. It's been quiet. How did you lose to Houston? They're terrible. That's who derailed you guys' season. I don't have anything else. I don't need to. I'm not breaking down the game. I'm not doing any of that. I even bet on you guys. I was really all in. And that's how it ended for you guys? That's how your season ended? Now you're going to the Independence Bowl? Now you're going to the Liberty Bowl because of Houston?
This is a weird moment for me.
Unacceptable.
I'm about to stand up for K-State.
Unacceptable.
We sure their season's over? They get one team upset or win one game in Ames, they are right back in Arlington because they hold the tiebreak over Colorado. They go beat Iowa State in Ames. They could easily be back in Arlington. And you know how it works. If you win in Arlington,
Yeah, no,
you get a top four seed. Like, I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to win out. I think they're going to lose in Ames.
Okay, so what are we talking about then? If you think they're going to lose, then it's over.
You said their season is over.
Okay, but we think they're losing, though.
There is a path. It's just tumultuous.
Yeah, the path is they have to win all of their games. Mm-hmm. That was the same path that they had before the Houston game. They lost. That was the same path. The path hasn't changed. Win all your games, and you lost. So sure, K-State will win 9-10 games this year. They're a great program. They'll go to a real solid bowl. You think they're winning the Big 12? You think K-State's winning the Big 12?
I think it's BYU's to lose.
Because I'm just saying is I've seen them go on the road. They got smoked on the road at BYU, mm-hmm. and they went on the road and they lost to Houston. Now I got to pick them to go on the road and beat Iowa State?
By the way, I saw that Houston team live. They're really bad. They're
terrible.
They're
terrible.
Me and dozens of people at Arrowhead saw that Houston team in live living color, and it's bad.
Someone on the text line says, so what you're saying is it's your fault. Absolutely. You guys would have won if I hadn't said anything. If we hadn't have talked about you guys last week, you guys would only have one loss. But it's our fault. I jumped on the bandwagon. We supported you guys. We stood alongside you guys, arm in arms. We tried to unify things. We're too divided. Missouri, Kansas, K-State. No, we tried to unify, rally behind you guys, and you let us down. You let the whole team down is what you did. You stepped to the line. You missed both free throws. Now look at us. No. Are you guys going to beat North Carolina this weekend? Because we're not talking about the football team anymore. The football team, they're done.
Can play spoiler. They have two teams in the schedule they can play spoiler to, and those are going to be full crowds. Nothing to do with them, but full crowds.
Rob, I'm telling you right now that this show is done talking about Kansas football.
What if they beat Iowa State?
They're 2-6. And
what if they beat Iowa State?
Then we'll talk about them.
That's the rule.
All right, we're done talking about
that. That's fine. North Carolina.
I'd rather talk about Christmas music right now than talk about KU football. They got four games left. You're right. They got three teams they could play spoilers to. Which one of these games do you think is the most realistic game for them to win? They got Iowa State in a road game. They got BYU on the road, got Colorado at a neutral site.
That's another road game, probably.
Yeah, they got Colorado at a neutral site. Don't have a home game this weekend against Iowa State. They don't have a home game.
They got a roadie. But if you're asking me to rank them, if this weekend's the weekend, that's the most likely to pull the upset because they're coming off a bye. Okay. They probably won't, but that's the most likely. North Carolina. Let's talk about North Carolina. I think Kansas beats North Carolina.
Of course, they're at home.
Kansas looked really good against Howard. Okay. How did your team do in their first game?
They lost. But that's all they do.
Did they lead?
Have you heard that song, All I Do Is Win? Missouri's the opposite of that. They're the opposite of that. All they do is lose, no matter what. First half lead. It ain't never enough. When they step into the building, all the shots go up. And they don't go in. That's what happens with Missouri. I watched the whole thing, every dribble. I had the Monday Night Football on the big TV. I had Missouri-Memphis on one of the other TVs. I was so excited in the first half. I took Missouri on the money line. For those of you that gamble, you know, you start spending that money in your head. You're like, oh, man, I'm coming up here, man. I put 25 on this. Man, it was like plus 160. I was feeling great. Then little by little, you start seeing the money just light itself on fire. And I'm saying, I believed in this team. I thought they could win.
Now, on a very serious note, I do think Missouri is better. I watched a lot of Missouri basketball last year. I watched every dribble so far this season. They are better. They have more size. They can rebound. Their biggest problem right now is coaching. Their coach does not know rotations. I'm sorry, you don't have to be Red Auerbach. You don't have to be Phil Jackson. You can't play 11 and 12 basketball players in a game. You can't do it. How Trent Pierce was their leading scorer in the first half, and then he doesn't check into the game until the 11-minute mark in the second half, it doesn't make any sense. His rotations are just so completely random that Missouri they'd have been better off last year and this year if they had just settled in on 8 guys. Settled in on 9 guys. That's how it works. If you're telling me that Team USA can't play 12 players, tell me how Missouri can play 12 players. Somebody make that make sense. We literally saw a basketball team that Jason Tatum couldn't be part of their rotation and Tyrese Halliburton, but Missouri's trying to play everybody on their team. Makes no sense.
This question is going to come off like hateration. That's fine. It's the nature of the beast. Which coach has had the shine come off them faster in Columbia? Is it Drinkwitz or Gates?
Oh, it's Gates. Not even close. I mean,
because Drink,
you know, I'm not the biggest Drinkwitz guy.
Maybe the text line, but there's been some Drinkwitz hate this year because expectations have fallen short.
I mean, a disappointing Missouri season is they're going to win 8 games. Missouri has not won a basketball game in 2024. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, well, they just played one game. No, I mean in 2024, the whole year. They didn't win a basketball game in January. They didn't win a basketball game in February. They certainly didn't win any in March, and they lost their first. They have lost 20 consecutive games. So, you know, I'm not the biggest Drinkwitz fan in the world. Let's not put them two in the same conversation. At this point, Dennis Gates is DEI Kim Anderson is what he looks like to me. That's who he looks like to me. That's what he looks like to me. I'm got to tell you how I feel. That's who he looks like. DEI Kim Anderson is who he looks like to me. He's been out here fooling for quite some time. And Missouri's probably going to lose this week to Oklahoma in football. They're probably going to lose.
No. Oklahoma is so bad.
Who's our quarterback?
Who's Oklahoma's quarterback?
I know he's better than that pine kid Missouri's got playing.
Off a bye, Cook ain't healthy?
I don't know if he's healthy. The way that the line looks, it doesn't look like Vegas thinks that he's healthy. If I'm telling you, if they got to play that Drew Pine kid, he is Nathan Peterman. He is the worst D1 quarterback I've ever seen. I'm serious. I'm sorry. He's the worst. He probably makes more than me to do this job. I'm telling you, he's terrible. He's bad. So if they got him going, I'm not even watching it. It's not even getting the secondary TV. No, that gets the phone. That's what it gets. It gets meth streams on the phone is how I'm watching Missouri, Oklahoma, if they got that kid starting. Coming up at the top of the hour, Spectre thinks that Mahomes should be number one in the MVP conversation. We'll play for you his explanation. Keep it right here. So drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.